Welcome to Life Planning 101, brought to you by Kennedy Financial Services of Eastland. Tune in every Monday morning at 8:30 on KATX and again on Saturday morning at 9 on KATX and KWBY as Angela Robinson joins Terry Slavens to share important financial information to help you live life on purpose. Insurance, investments, estate and tax planning, and much more. All covered now on Life Planning 101.
Tips to prevent the number one cause of marital rift.
And I bet you can take a wild guess on what that might be.
Well, I bet it has to do with money.
Yep, you got it. You got it. In fact, there, thanks to CNBC, February 4th, 2015, and also Dr. Phil, a recent study said 35% of people experiencing relationship stress said money was the primary reason. And, of course, a lot of experts believe that's the number one reason that marriages fail, is that the lack of communication with money. So that's what we're going to talk about today. We've got 10 tips. Now, you know, when we wrote this article, it was all about newly married couples. Well, it's really not about newly married couples. It's all married couples, right, that really need to heed this advice and relook at what they're doing. Because I don't think, you know, we work with a lot of people and we've worked with a lot of different age spans. And I don't think it matters what decade you are in life and how many years that you've been married. There's always some kind of rift that comes across,
right,
you know, when you're meeting with the people, and you'll be amazed. You know, we are big proponents that when we sit down with people for the very first time, that we tell them we won't meet with you unless it's you and your spouse. And people don't understand that, but it's critical. It is absolutely critical. I mean, for you to make financial decisions and for both of you to be on the same track and to be successful, you've got to get your full team.
Everybody there.
On track. Yes.
And most marriages, I would say the mass majority, at some time during, no matter how long they've been married, they have had financial problems that have caused rifts. And it's not always a lack of money. Sometimes people that have a lot of money
are still rifts. That's exactly
right. And we had a very good family friend pass away earlier this year, and the wife had no clue where anything was, how much she had no idea. Yeah. And, I mean, it took her, she had to search to find all the documents because there was no communication. Yeah. They had a good marriage.
So if he wasn't already dead, she wanted to kill him, right?
Yeah. Until she found out how much she actually had.
Yeah, that's right. So, yeah, so we've got a poll for you today. Go ahead and tweet us at KFS Life Planning and let us know, do you and your spouse argue when it comes to money? Yes or no? You know, and I
be honest,
right? Well, you'll hear me say this more than once in the show. Progress starts by telling the truth, right? So do you and your spouse argue when it comes to money? Tweet us at KFS Life Planning, yes or no. When we come back, we are going to start in on these 10 tips, which you don't want to miss. If you're not driving, grab a pen and a piece of paper. If you are driving, remember, you can review all of this at the website. There's actually an online article, so you don't even have to write anything out. You could go in there and just print it off. Be pretty helpful. And you'll be able to do that at ktxradio.com, or for our KWBY listeners, kwbyradio.com, or you can always subscribe to all of our articles and go to kennedy-financial.com and subscribe to that weekly newsletter that comes out, and it's full of great information.
All that coming up and much, much more right here on Life Planning 101 on KTX KWBY. And welcome back into Life Planning 101 here on KTX KWBY. Terry Slavens with you and Angela Kennedy Robinson. And she's going to explain to us how we can all have marital blitz and good finances at the same time.
That's right. That's right. And if you're one of our listeners on Monday, I do want to say before we get into this, don't forget to go vote.
Oh, yes.
Yes. I mean, we in prayers for our country. We've already said that once. I'm going to probably say it two more times on the show. So our country needs prayers. But go out and vote. Make sure you don't miss your chance. You know, we live in a state, if you're one of our Texas listeners, that has really become a purple state. And it's really important for you to voice your opinion on whichever way way you believe, but don't, you know, discredit being an American and having that right.
I can't remember the quote you had last week, but about not voting, why you needed to vote. But it's basically, if you don't vote, you can't complain.
That's exactly right. With integrity.
With integrity. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So let's get back to the marital bliss situation, or the tips to keep you in marital bliss when we're talking about the number one cause of rifts in marriages, and that's money. Okay, so let's get to this. The number one thing is communication. And I really believe this is probably the number one thing. If you don't get anything right, getting communication right is key. Because, you know, a lot of people believe that when I talk, I'm communicating.
Right.
No. When you listen, you're communicating. And what I mean by that, you know, when we sit down with someone, one of the first things that we do is we ask, one of the first questions we ask them is, what was money like growing up? Well, the reason that we do that is because we want to understand their psyche behind why they make the decisions they make financially. Exactly. If you grew up extremely poor, having to salvage everything that you could, do you think you're a saver or a spender?
Saver.
Yes, you're a saver, right? It makes a total sense. If you grew up and money was easy and you basically were able to get what you needed to get, you might be the other way. If you were somewhere in between, it's important for you and your spouse to have that conversation, though. And you know, I think that's one of probably the most missed conversations. You might know it about each other, but sit there and listen to the words that your spouse has to say about that. Because that probably more than anything will help you do what we call paradigm shift into their shoes. When things get tough, try to understand things from their point of view, and you'll be able to see them and empathize with their situation so that you don't get angry, right?
Right.
And that's probably the biggest thing of anything, because we're all a sum of our experiences.
Exactly.
And unfortunately, you and your spouse have however many years of experiences before you got married. And even while you've been married, say one of you is a business owner and the other one is an executive, your money situations are totally different, even though you may share everything. But the way you think about money, the way you look at money, you know, I'll give you a great example. When my husband was out there selling for a wholesale company, here I am, a financial advisor, and I'm going through the 2008-2009 crisis, and I'm working with retirees. Do you think that made an impact on my life?
Absolutely.
Yes. Versus, did he really see what I saw? No, he didn't. So your careers can have a significant impact. And it's important for you to communicate your financial goals, your memories, your habits. Talk about all of those things intricately and listen.
And listen.
And listen, right?
Listen. That's sometimes some of us have a hard time listening.
Yep. That's right. So let's get to the number two thing, which is kind of one of these, and that's setting goals. John Maxwell, probably my favorite author, motivational speaker of all time, he said, begin with the end in mind. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you're in your 20s or 30s today and you're just starting out in a marriage, you can be looking at retirement as that end in mind. You know, if we're sitting here and we're 65 years old and we're looking back over these last 40 years, what do we want that to have looked like? What do we want to have accomplished? What do we want our life to be like at 65? It doesn't matter if you're there. It doesn't matter if you're in your 40s. It doesn't matter if you're in your 60s or your 70s. You can still be thinking that same goal. You know, if I'm sitting here at the end of my life, what do I want to look back on? What do I want to have accomplished? What do I want to feel like financially at that time? And we need to think about that end in mind before we set short-term goals. Because which is more important, the security of the long-term or the satisfaction of the short-term purchase of a vehicle?
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
The security of the long-term. So think about those long-term goals first. Talk about those. And then back it up. Now, in 20 years, in 10 years, in 5 years, in 3 years, in 1 year, and get those goals lined out. Put a timeline on them. Because it's really, really important that you have them set out. You know, I'll just give you a great example. I always use myself. I'm an open book, if you know me personally. So I'd be happy to tell you anything. But, you know, when we're talking about our goals, my husband and I, and we say, okay, here's what we want to accomplish. We literally have a list of things that we would like to do on our place.
Right.
And we have a prioritizing list. Let's say 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. And when we hit this extra amount of cash, we're going to do this. And this extra amount of cash, we're going to do this. And that's how we accomplish things. Our long-term goals are already set up. We've already done that. They're in place. We pay ourselves first. meaning we save first before anything else is done. So we don't have to worry about that long-term goal. It's getting taken care of. You know, and then that way we can focus on the things that are fun, right? That give us that pleasure. Ooh, let's get that new dirt for our arena. Oh, just paid for that bill. Okay, so something. But it's really important to set those goals. Number three is creating a budget. And I don't think it's so much as creating a budget and sticking to a budget as it is to track what you spend. Okay, and both of you know what you spent. Because, you know, if you don't know what you're currently paying, how can you make decisions if you can afford something or not?
Right, you can't.
Right, and how will you know how much you need really to retire on? Or if you're retired, how do you know how much you need to stay retired, right? So it's really important just to create that budget and track that spending. There's multitudes of ways. A couple of weeks ago, we gave a ton of apps. They're on our website, budgeting apps that you can go through, you can use. If you don't want to use an app, I'm kind of old school. I say kind of old school because, you know, I'm not old school, but I use an Excel spreadsheet. So I go in and I track everything on an Excel spreadsheet. That works best for me.
Right.
Some people, it might just be an envelope system and then you write everything out on paper. Whatever it is, but the important thing is to track things. Number four is setting a foundation for your financial house, meaning know what your assets and your liabilities are. Know what your good debt and your bad debt is. So what do you need to be working on paying off? What do you not need to be working on paying off and rather save instead, right? And then do you have that emergency savings set up? You know, that's usually 3 to 6 months for most people of income, or not necessarily of income, 3 to 6 months of expenses, right? So, and it's really important. I'm a primary story for that. You know, last year when we moved into a new house, not only did we have all the expenses of moving into the new house, one thing after another started to occur. We drive old vehicles, so things started to fall apart there. You know, we had air conditioners go out. I mean, we had everything possible that could have happened to somebody, and the emergency account went, you know, I mean, it was horrible. But if we hadn't had that, you know, how much more stressful would it have been? And could it have caused that marital rift because there wasn't any money there?
Absolutely.
Absolutely. So it's really important that you set that foundation for your financial house. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about probably the number two thing outside of communication that is important for you to do to prevent that money rift in a marriage.
One of my favorite people that I like quotes from, Abraham Lincoln, he talked about his life, and one of his quotes was, it's not the number of years in the life, it's the number of the amount of life in the years.
That's right.
And that was paraphrased a little bit, but absolutely true. I mean, it doesn't matter how long you live, how well did you live while you were living?
That's right. Quality.
Quality of life. We'll be back with more Life Planning 101 right after this. Life Planning 101 continues here on KETX KWBY. Terry Slavens with Angela Kennedy Robinson, and we're talking finances and your marriage. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning again. And again, go vote if you haven't voted, if you're listening Saturday. I'm sorry if that brings up bad memories.
if you're listening Saturday, well, go vote the next time.
That's right. So let's get back to newly married couples and old married couples. Doesn't matter where you are, finances could be a rift in your marriage and probably have been a rift in your marriage before. So how do you fix that? How do you go forward with that? What do you do? And we talked about communication, the importance of that, probably number one thing. Setting goals, creating a budget, setting your foundation out, you know, knowing your picture, where you're at, making sure you have appropriate emergency savings. But what about the fact of working together? So usually there's one spouse that wants to do this and is listening to the show right now. And there's one spouse that is not listening to the show because they're bored with the information on the show and they want to go do other things.
And they don't want to take a reality check.
That's right. That's right. So you've got two conflicting spouses. And, I will be the first to admit, usually when I want to work on something isn't when my husband wants to work on something. And when he wants to work on something, it's not when I want to work on something. So it's always a conflict to try to make that happen. But I can't stress to you the importance of that. Quick story. So we were at a seminar several years ago. And a gentleman walked up after, this is a 4-night seminar, we go through everything retirement related. And he comes up and he says, well, I'm so excited to retire, yada yada, we're going to move to Colorado, we're going to do all this. He's got all this laid out and his wife is standing there right next to him. And he gets done talking and she goes, so when were you going to tell me all this? So, you know, there is a lot of importance in working together, because if you are consistently working apart, your goals are going to move apart. Your life is going to move apart. And it's important for you to bring that back together to have that successful marriage with your money.
Exactly.
So can't stress that enough. Probably number two important thing. First is communication. Second is work together. They kind of go hand in hand if you think about it. So what about setting a minimum threshold for big expenses? You know, I think this is something that's talked about a lot. You know, it's not an uncommon thing to hear as a tip, right?
Right.
But I don't think it's done a lot. You know, my husband and I, we have kind of a deal when it comes to equine, especially. We make all decisions together because usually those are big expenses, you know, and that's kind of our deal. And then beyond that, we do have a threshold. We say, you know, but, you know, if you don't have that, we all want our independence and we all can say at times or justify at times, I deserve this or so and so deserves this. But really, is that what needs to happen? And that can cause a lot of stress, you know, those big expenses. And you were talking earlier, Terry, about people that have a lot of money and money's not an issue. Interestingly enough, that is probably the biggest issue with people that have a lot of money. Think about that.
They go out and they just do whatever they want without consulting the other spouse.
That's right. Think about that.
Yeah.
Yep. And it doesn't even have to be an expense. What about an investment? What about a business venture? Later in life, especially successful entrepreneurs, we work with a lot of them. This is where we see a lot of marital strife, because usually the spouse that's been supportive of all those years of success is worn out and sees that her other spouse may be getting worn out, or maybe not, but she's needing that change or he's needing that change. And if they don't pay attention to each other's needs and talk about those things, it can end in marriage abruptly. And we've seen that happen. So it's extremely important to have those conversations about business ventures, about that next step in life and what you want to do, not just expenses themselves.
And loaning money to people.
Yes. Especially children.
Yes.
Especially children. Yeah. Learn to say no, by the way. You protect your own retirement first, right?
Right.
Because are they going to let you move in with them?
Probably not.
Probably not. I did have one client tell me yes. But it's only been one. So I said, would you sign this document? And set up regular meetings to talk about things. Okay. So this goes back to that communication. You hear a reoccurring theme here. Set up regular, you know, communication to discuss where you're at, what your finances look like, what that budget is looking like, upcoming expenses, changing in circumstances, your goals, because they could change. Even if you set a year goal 6 months down the road, you may have changed that goal altogether. I'm notorious for doing things like that. So, you know, it's really important. And just schedule it, whether it's once a month. You could even make it fun. You know, make it a Sunday brunch. Make it, you know, something that you do on a Saturday outing, you know, and you go to lunch first and then you do something fun afterwards. But, you know, make sure that you are setting up that regular meeting to cuss and discuss, so to speak. Update and revise. You know, so when we meet with a client, every time we go through a list, we have our 8 life planning issues, right?
Right.
We go through this list on our agenda. We have it listed out and we discuss all of these things, specifically titling of assets.
Right.
Beneficiaries on your accounts, your insurance coverage, is everything in place? Your wills, your legal documents, do they need to be revised? So you need to do that, especially probably once a year. Look at everything. That's when we do it with our clients. Love, trust, and honesty. Wow. This goes back to that communication of empathizing, being able to put yourself in their shoes and understand where they're coming from, understanding their past, being honest with each other. Even when you know your spouse is going to get upset, again, progress starts by telling the truth, right?
Exactly.
Yep, and you got to tell the truth to yourself first. And oftentimes in our marriage, isn't that the hardest dang thing to do? Isn't your spouse always to blame? Yeah. And not you.
I'm not saying anything.
But isn't it true, though? I mean, we always think, oh, gosh, there they are at it again. You know, we always have some kind of excuse, but that's not the case. When it comes to finances, you have to look at reality, and you have to say, this might be where I'm at fault, and try to identify your own faults first before becoming upset with your spouse.
Right.
And then trust your spouse. Trust them. When you set out a plan and you work together, you'll be able to trust them. But trust them and let them know you trust them. Don't be watching over them 100% of the time. It doesn't feel good. So, and then last but not least is consider speaking with someone that is a third party, a mediator to this situation. You know, I can't tell you how many times we see people that, you know, they'll say, okay, we're going to go home and talk about it. Well, have you talked about it? No. Or we started to, but then it got too fishy, got too hairy. We started a fight and we walked away. And what do you not know about money that you need to know? What questions are you not asking about your situation? What enlightenments need to be added to help you get a better financial situation?
And sometimes we don't want to ask because we don't want to hear the answers.
That's right. That's right. So that mediator, that life planner, which we are, by the way, is really, really important in your marital success with money. Thank everyone for listening to our show again. My name is Angela Robinson with Kennedy Financial Services here in the great town of Eastland, Texas. Lots of prayers this week. God bless America and God bless all of our listeners.
And go vote.
And go vote.
Go vote, for sure. Thank you very much, Angela. Life Planning 101 right here on KTX KWY.
Thank you for joining us for Life Planning 101, brought to you by Kennedy Financial Services of Eastland. Tune in every Monday morning at 8:30 on KATX and again on Saturday morning at 9 o'clock on KATX and KWBY for more Life Planning 101.
Advisory services offered through Smart Money Group, LLC, a registered investment advisor. Securities offered through Calton & Associates, Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC. Kennedy Financial Services, Incorporated is an independent of Calton & Associates, Incorporated, and Smart Money Group, LLC.